Probably this morning will be the last message on the shepherd. I don't even know how many I preached. Doesn't really matter. But this is probably the most important message in Matthew 9, verses 35 and 36. There's a compassion that Jesus, as our shepherd, has. And I don't really know if it's preached much anymore. We talk about the passion of Christ, which is very, very real, isn't it? Passion is something we individually have. You have a passion for this, you have a passion for that. It's overwhelming, it's just never ending. It's something you've got to do, and if you don't do it, it's no good. Passion. The passion of Jesus was on the cross for us and our sins, to take our place as a substitute, didn't he? But passion is one thing. It was all on Jesus. God the Father sent him. But there's something as a shepherd, not just Jesus is ours, but our example that we are of a shepherd in our lives, there's compassion. It's the hardest thing. You're going to see right off in the scriptures how devastating compassion is if you don't have it and what it is. Look at Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. See where it says he was moved with compassion. Moving means it starts a little bit, it grows and it grows and it grows. I've been moved. I've been moved more the last couple of days emotionally and spiritually than I have in a long, long time. And it's good to have compassion, isn't it? Our passion is us. It's not always shared. What it makes us do is shared. What people see us do is shared. But compassion. This is really, really difficult because some people don't really understand. We talked about martyr. I heard him say martyr this week concerning Charlie Kirk. And if we're not careful, we're going to get out of the way quickly because it's an honor to be a martyr. It's a blessing forever and ever, and very few people reach that level. The only way you reach that level is not to be passionate, but to be compassionate. In Jesus, it says in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Did he miss one? Does all mean all? Somebody needs to look that up in the original. Well, what does that mean? It means all, doesn't it? All the cities in all the villages. And what did he do? He teached in their synagogues, preached the gospel of the kingdom, and healed how many? Every sickness and every disease among the people. I've planted that one really good, I pray. Among the people, right? The sheepfold. The church when we gather together. But there's a outside of the church. There's an outside of the city. There's an outside of the synagogue. He did this among his people, among the public, among the Jews, inside, but not out there yet. And all that he did, he didn't leave anybody out. There wasn't nobody that came that didn't get healed that needed it. There wasn't anybody that came that didn't hear the gospel truth from Jesus himself. He preached the kingdom. He taught. And he healed. Oh, we need healing, don't we? And you know doctors are used to heal us. And we need them. Not just every sickness that comes and goes, but diseases. There's a lot of diseases that little babies get. And I bring it up probably more than I should, but that's all right. I don't mind. Those kids, in the hospitals and all the commercials. They didn't do anything to anybody. But if they were there on this day, and Mom and Daddy took them to see Jesus, you know what would happen? Every one of them 100% would be healed miraculously from their sicknesses, from their diseases. And we do that. We gather together, and while we're amongst each other, we preach, don't we? We teach. We pray for every sickness and every disease among the people. I don't know what we'd have done the last couple of days without this church. The texts, the phone calls. If I texted you in the hospital, I tried to get pretty much everybody. I didn't miss you on purpose. But we really appreciate it. But God did it. And amongst the people is the first point today. Jesus had liberty, power, presence, success, faith that was returned to him in obedience among the people, inside the synagogues, wherever he taught, whoever he touched, whatever disease was healed, and whatever sickness was gone, there would be no comparison. What an awesome time. In fact, John tells us in one of his books that at the very end that if he was able to write everything down Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. That's what Jesus did when he was among the people. He was the Savior. He was Lord. He's the Messiah. Him and only him and no one else this day had the power to cast out demons, to heal people that are sick and diseased. And what a teaching he probably had. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Not just teaching, but preaching. They're not the same, but they are. Just depends on how people take it. I learned that a long time ago. I taught a lot of people until somebody got mad and they said, quit preaching to me. So I knew I was preaching when folks went out kind of. I went from teaching that day to preaching. It works that way, doesn't it? But it's awesome, and I want you to see it awesome. All the things that Jesus did to all the people that was right there with him. Verse 36 says, But when he saw the multitudes. So there wasn't multitudes where he was at, just as much as the building could hold, maybe a little bit out. Compared to multitudes, there was probably a few people that was healed, a few people that was taught, a few people that was preached to. And these people included, that he just did this mighty work in, and everything that he did from teaching, preaching to healing, all these people were included as he looked out and he saw. He did have passion to heal, to get folks right, to teach and to preach. But there was something a whole lot worse that made a big difference. The compassion came because of all the work that he was able to do. And how easy it was to receive. It's easy to receive healing, isn't it? It's easy to receive diseases go away, isn't it? It's not much you can do if you're there and Jesus is teaching and preaching. You take it or you don't. But you're going to be there. And awesome as all that is, he looked out and saw multitudes. And what broke his heart was they was like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. It wasn't that one revival service. It wasn't that one healing. All the things that Jesus did and all the good that it did to people, there was a long-term, every day, all-day thing that Jesus wants. And that's for us to follow him. We do the same thing. It's awesome when answered prayer comes. It's awesome when we get to teach and when we receive the word. But there's a lot more folks in the county than are sitting here this morning, isn't there? And here pretty soon when we leave, go out around the county, we like Jesus can look out And I pray we have compassion. Because unless you fell asleep or drugged yourself beyond repair, there's folks out there amongst us, even in here, that's going out that are like sheep without a shepherd. And the problem is somebody is going to be their shepherd. Isn't it? Somebody is going to lead them astray. Somebody is going to talk them in. Sandy and I, we met at a Baptist college. And I never would have thought there'd been such a... We thought everything was going to be right and everything was going to be good. I think there was some pretty sorry Christian people where we went to school. And it didn't take long to find out that there was a lot of people there that had to go there because mom and daddy said they did. And they ain't no more believed in how to act than nobody. I saw for the first time at a Baptist college preachers that were sitting in me. We had a ministerial alliance. I was in the MAs, preacher boys. And some of them met me that was a little older and wanted to go out and drink. And that was just the very beginning and how deep it was. Who told them that was right? Not the Lord. He wasn't their shepherd when they were doing that. And I found out that there is no way, no matter where you think you can go or get away from, there's still stuff inside of us because we got a nature that we was born with. Preached it not long ago, Noah's Ark. He got rid of the whole world for his boys, didn't he? There wasn't going to be nothing bother them when they get that boat finished and the rain stops. They're going to go out and they're going to be perfect, brand new. Nothing's going to happen because everything that could ever be bad was destroyed. Is that what happened? Didn't it? They couldn't get rid of that nature, that sin. And there's only 8 of them left, but there was enough sin that didn't get took care of. That they needed to listen to the Lord, their shepherd, or they would go bad. It doesn't matter what we think we can destroy or legislate. Somebody told me one day that we don't legislate morality. Well, what do we legislate? Isn't that silly? The Ten Commandments is the moral law, isn't it? You break the moral law, you get this. That's legislating it. That's giving a consequence for what you do, isn't it? We can't legislate it to a point where it guarantees people don't get in trouble. We can't set a rule and say, okay, the rules, they'll never be in trouble. No, that's not what I mean. We have to have guidelines. We have to have a shepherd, don't we? And Jesus looked out after all he did among the people at first, and then he looked out away from the people where everybody was, and he had compassion. I like this because Jesus knew what he was going to look out and see. And he preached and he teached and he healed anyway. Didn't he? He would have known that once he did that, they was going to go out and have somebody else shepherd. He knew that, didn't he? It's the definition of grace. And the kind of compassion that we need to discover in our Christian lives is we do things for other people because we're supposed to. Some are easier to help than others. But we don't decide here and there when something happens and it's on our heart, we go do it. Don't we? We want to be a part of the shepherding and influence that they have. And Jesus took care of everybody. And almost everybody didn't give anything back. They didn't take it any further. They was glad to hear the teaching. They was glad to hear the preaching. They was glad to give up sickness and disease, weren't they? But it was too hard to follow him. It was too hard to make him their shepherd. I remember Mama telling me, and I think she thought it broke my heart, but it didn't do much for me. She says, I didn't raise you like that. At first, it bothered me, but pretty soon it didn't matter because I was going to do what I wanted to do. I disrespected my daddy a year before I left home. too much pressure on me to be like the world, to be a grown-up, to do awful things in public if I'd have waited just 1 year. I wasn't one of those. I rebelled. And the daddy that loved me and took me to church, prayed for my salvation, I disrespected him 1 year before I left the house. And if I said what I did, some of y'all say, what's wrong with that? I did it yesterday. It'd be acceptable more today than it was back then. But it wasn't acceptable in my daddy's house, because he's a godly man, a Christian man. And the thing that bothered him most about his kids was when they leave this house, who's going to shepherd them? And how much influence do I really have on those kids when they leave the house? We do the same thing, don't we? Have we done enough? And let me help the parents out, the young parents. You're only going to have to react to what you find out. Right? That's bad enough, but you'll never find out all of it. Did mom and daddy ever find out about y'all? Did they? They didn't, did they? We folks that are in their 70s and 80s that are here today, you did the same thing, didn't you? Mom and daddy didn't find out every place you went or everything you did. I remember my older brother in the early 70s, might have been middle 70s, went to a Who concert, or was going to go to a Who concert. It was in Cleveland, Ohio. And we only lived about 20, 30, 40 miles. And he snuck out, and I was supposed to come up, and I was supposed to tell the story and make sure daddy didn't find out and all this. No, he's back there sleeping. He got a bad headache, daddy. I had to lie to keep him not being in trouble for sneaking out going to that. And on the news, you can look it up. That concert back in the 70s was the one where the stage broke and killed a bunch of people. And boy, you talk about me getting nervous. Where's Mike at? I go, oh man. And where's he at? I kept looking. Is he going to? And the news kept getting stronger, and they did the reports and updates like they do today. I'm going to have to tell him. I can't do that to Daddy. Before long, I heard a on the window, and I said, boy, you got back quick. He says, nah, we decided not to go. Made me worry about it. I guess that was my just, wasn't it? I deserved it. But there was things that we did when I was a kid nobody, I hope, ever finds out. How about you? And we're worried, but we really don't have compassion like Jesus did. Jesus did all he could with all his power amongst his people like he does today. But we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us, haven't we? And Jesus, because there's free will and because we have a choice, I don't know why we say that every Sunday, but we're going to have to from here on out. There's nothing else in the Bible. We got a choice, don't we? And because we have a choice, you see, as a father and a shepherd, how Jesus took it. We can identify with that, can't we? How many nights did you walk the floor when your teenagers went out? I've got two, Josh and Megan, and they're a couple years apart. And Megan was younger, and she's a whole lot better when she was coming up because she saw what I put up with our son. And he didn't do anything. It was all on me. It was all on me. Very first time he drove, got that permit, whatever, went to a church party with the people. And it was about 10:30 and 10:45, and we live in Alexandria. And I didn't think he was coming back. I was worried, so I got in my car, and I drove to Auburntown. And I went to the house where the youth party was going on, and they was just leaving. And I had to get back in the car and drive home and beat him there. And I got home just a little bit before he did, and I put that sheet over my boots and my jeans and my shirt, put the sheet up to here so he didn't know I was out. He come in, he says, Daddy, how y'all doing? I said, oh, we're good. How are you? Oh, you back? Well, good. Oh, don't we all get like that? We want them to be more than obedient if we got the compassion of Jesus. We want them to serve him, don't we? And it's getting harder. It's getting more difficult. Because then I could get into some of y'all would agree, amen, for sure, when they marry somebody. You spend all your life teaching them one set of rules and they marry into another. And you got grandkids that believe two different things. And they're worried about the internet and all the stuff coming in. You ought to be worried about that. But you could be more worried about that other side over there sometimes. That might be where all the stuff's coming in. And it usually is. But we need the same compassion that Jesus has. And when we want to do more than preach and more than teach and even more than seeing somebody healed, which is important, isn't it? And God still does that. When I look out, where are they, Lord? Christians don't come to church much like we used to. And we're all guilty, every one of us. You don't have to walk out and say that was on me. It's on everybody. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't study. And most of all, it's hard to find that same compassion. But we got to find it. We've got to get back the compassion as Jesus teaches us. Think about Jesus. All he did and all the power and all the knowledge. And all he wanted them to do was follow him. It's hard to follow him, isn't it? Our flesh, the devil, the world. The hardest thing we'll ever do is follow Jesus as our shepherd, our great shepherd. He won't lead us wrong, will he? He'll always make it up to us. And sometimes it's really quick when we find out we shouldn't have, and he wants us just to get right and come back with him. This morning, how are you following your shepherd? You know, I don't. Some folks you can figure, you can guess pretty good, huh? Some folks will tell you that they believe, but then what are they doing? What are we doing? But you yourself, today, between you and God, how are you following him? Do you know that he has compassion for you? You know that everything you're trying to teach your kids and teenagers, you've not got out of it with him. He wants you to watch out. He wants you to be careful. He wants you to be concerned with who you're around and who you're not. He cares about what goes in our bodies, doesn't he? And for just a minute, talk about us, grown-ups, Christians. How are we doing? Where's he leading us? Where does he want to lead us? And amen to the college things that we've saw Charlie Kirk do. But you better not wait till they get to college. There's going to be no hope by then. They won't even make it to college nowadays, will they? Ain't no way. Before they get there, what kind of example are we as a Lamb of God between me and the Lord? What if they followed me? What if they followed you? And because there's a devil, what he's going to do is he's going to pick out that one thing. You can do 99 things just right, but the devil's going to let everybody know that one thing that you got caught or one thing somebody said. All right? And we got to realize that he has compassion. He's already saved us, hasn't he? We've already had plenty of answered prayers for sickness, haven't we? He's already kept us away from so much. He has, hasn't he? And then I'm worried about my kids following what's right. But I don't practice what I preach. And it starts with me, doesn't it? The compassion of Jesus never ends. And he's been able to do so much for us physically, emotionally, mentally, hasn't he? And I have a hard time following him because it's true, it's right. I've got a flesh. I'm a sheep. I'm easily going astray, aren't I? But how many times we need to come back more and more, closer and closer. That's it, isn't it? Keep shorter accounts with the Lord. Every day, study, read, pray. Every morning if you can. I told you before, I'll tell you again, for years and years. I listened to some of my favorite preachers. Listened to Guy Penrod. Everybody heard of him? I had to quit listening to anybody else when I... And he's got long hair. No. Sandy's daddy, there's no stricter man on this earth than Sandy's daddy, Dane English. Some of y'all know him. Strict. He doesn't play. He don't have any play in him. But he liked Guy Penrod before he saw him. And he was a song leader. Mount Zion Baptist Church for years. Not too far from here. He never saw a picture of him. He listened to him. That's good. He liked it. He's a member at Hillcrest in between churches in Lebanon. He came to Hillcrest and I took Dana and Jean, his wife, and he'd already been getting sick and already pretty feeble, was on a walker. And we took him there and he got to see him. And we were there 2 hours and I was worried and we was on the way home and I said, Dana, I'm so sorry we kept you there so long. He said, you don't understand. I sit in that house day after day, night after night. I want to go another hour. I don't want to go home. And he loved the singing. He loved the spirit. Sometimes we need to worry, and we can't anymore worry about the packaging. Something might not look just right on the outside. But nowadays, be careful what looks perfect on the outside. You know, there's more poison that the devil gets into our lives that we just got to have it because everybody's doing it and it looks right. But not only is Jesus compassionate toward us, we need to be compassionate towards each other. Don't we? I'm not worried for my kids to doing a whole lot of anything. I just don't want them to do what I did. I used to pray that. I used to preach that. I used to tell my son. Told him, when you're 17, you're going to have the worst time of your life, because I did. Self-fulfilling prophecy, I'm afraid. Because when he got 17, he remembered. And it didn't go that bad for him like it did for me. But there is a God. There is a Savior. He's our shepherd. And he's done a lot for us, hasn't he? He's done a whole bunch for me. And he keeps on doing it. But when he looks at me sometimes as my Father and my Savior and my shepherd, he has compassion because I'm faint, weak spiritually. And I know it. And I'm scattered. Just like I don't ever have a shepherd. Like I never was saved. Like he never did anything for me. He saved me anyway, didn't he? He saved you anyway, knowing what we're going to be like. He knew these people were going to wander, didn't he? Every city, every place, every sin, every healing, every disease, he took care of it with his passion, didn't he? And I pray you can see the difference. With all the passion that we can have, and it's good, do we have compassion? Do we get more bothered because somebody's faint and weak in the world? And I'm not talking about the way they dress, the way they look, all that silly stuff that don't matter. It's on the inside, isn't it? And only spiritual sheep can see and understand when somebody is faint and when somebody's scattered and when somebody's walking around like they don't even have a shepherd. They don't come to church. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. They excuse what they're doing. It's ugly, isn't it? Breaks my heart as a pastor. I've been through it for years and years. I had a little girl that was Bible drill leader, and she did a lot of stuff. And every month she'd come to the altar and bawl her eyes out. Never did know until later what she was caught up in. And eventually the Lord turned her over. Ruined her life. May never come back. And it didn't have anything to do with a whole lot of sins we would name this morning. It was just she got away from the Lord. We get away from the Lord, and what we need to do is be very, very careful. The closer you are to the Lord, the more the devil's going to pick at you. It doesn't do a bit of good for the Lord to knock off somebody that's not faithful. We saw that this week with Charlie Kirk, huh? And what some people, in my opinion, are wrong about was the Lord allowed, the Lord knew, and it's an honor. The devil takes things bad and tries to kill, steal, and destroy. Remember last week? But Jesus gives us life and that more abundantly. When the Lord decides that our life is over, and when the Lord is able to use us in a mighty, 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 mighty way, and He has with that man, hasn't He? And how much more it's going to multiply. We can't explain it. I don't understand it. Feel bad for the family, and I am. I'm going to pray for them. But it makes me want to be more like Jesus. More open, more able to defend my faith and contend for the faith. Because we're His sheep. And He's my shepherd. How about you this morning? Are you one wandering around faint and scattered? And is it because you're lost? I don't know who's saved. I'm pretty sure most everybody is. We say that years and years. We don't really know, do we? The way you know you're lost, the way you know you're away from the Lord, the way you know you're not following Him, is right about this time there's something that might have been said you didn't like. There might be something you heard maybe in the news or something that, I just don't know about all that. God does a lot of things we don't understand. But if you're here today again, like every Sunday, you've not trusted in Him for salvation. You've not given your life to Him the best way you know how, for Him to do His will in your life. You haven't come to the understanding that it's not just the sins. It doesn't do a bit of good to tell people that if they get saved, they'll quit drinking, smoking, all these different things that don't matter. Don't go do it, but that's not the spiritual thing. It's unbelief. It's, I don't believe. I know without a doubt that I'm lost. I've been convicted many times. And about this time, you're going to be fighting a battle, aren't you? Here you go again. And here we go again, watching you go out with compassion, praying for your soul. Because there's a lot worse things getting taken over by the worldly things. That's dying and going to hell forever and ever. Isn't that worse? Isn't that what Jesus died to keep us away from? He did, didn't He? We're going to fall, we're going to fail, but need to be saved. If you're here today, all the prayers, all the teaching, all the preaching we've done, you and the Lord know. One of these days, you're not going to get a chance. But the Lord opens your heart today. You need to come to Him. You're here and you are saved. Do you have compassion for your kids, for your wife, for your husband, for your family? I mean, before we can have it for somebody else, that deep compassion. I've took them to church. I've prayed for them. I've watched over them. I've done everything I know. And they're going to leave the house here one of these days. How can it be that there's folks with four kids, same parents, in four different ways of life? Adam and Eve started it, didn't they? Cain and Abel were kind of opposite, weren't they? There come a point in time when it wasn't mom and daddy's fault anymore. Was it? My daddy used to say, I have four kids, one of each, and he was right. I still don't understand that. But watching us all grow up, we've all went different ways. We had the same godly father that did everything for us that we could ever imagine. And we all went different ways. But he had compassion on me. And when the Lord called me to preach, it broke my daddy's heart. Because he grew up all his life feeling like he was called to preach and never did. And he sat down and talked to me. He got to come to my ordination all the way from Texas. And he was proud of me. And I can't tell you the things I did against my father when I was 17. To that many years later, for him to come and hug me and kiss me, I'm so glad. He kept praying for me with compassion, even though I was away from him and away from the Lord. He never quit. How about you this morning? You need to come pray before the Lord this morning. And I know you do. I know I've been here too long. I know too much already. Oh, we need to pray with compassion, don't we? God, bring them back. And then we need to pray for conviction that I don't be a stumbling block. And everything I am and everything I have would be what would influence that one. Come back. We can do it with the Lord's power, can't we? I want to ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.